Audio.
If you're nervous,
one guy from Columbia tweeted me. That was nice.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't tweet
I
me.
I retweeted or quoted to you.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. See, I think
it was after our fabulous cat's paw episode.
Oh, see, I think...
Why won't you?
I think you're going to draw far more response because you're an attractive female, and I'm just like this monster that lives in a cave.
Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Matt Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kent, 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 Kent.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Bart. Whoops!
It's a world of laughter, a world of tears, a world of hope, but a world of Star Trek? Hi, this is Mike McCafferty. I just want to talk about Star Trek. So why am I singing It's a Small World from Disneyland? For a reason. And I'll get to that in a second. But first of all, how are you? I haven't talked to you in like 10 days, and I'm sorry about that. Life is life, and I'm writing on a new television show, and that takes a lot of my time. And I have a family that's not new, but it takes a lot of my time. But I felt it. I felt the need to podcast. And I'm sorry that it's been a little bit of a delay. But that's okay because we're going to make it up tonight. We're going to have a kind of a short podcast, but one that's filled with drama and tension. Because in the interim of you and I talking, something happened. It seems like a small thing, but it is definitely pulling on the strings of stuff which is worrying me. And that is that Brian Fuller, the guy who's supposed to be the savior for the new Star Trek Discovery series, has left the new Star Trek Discovery series. He is stepping down. He's doing two other shows, executive producing two other shows. And while he claims that he's still going to be a part of it, and he's written the first two scripts, this is not good. This is what we call in the industry bad. When the man with the vision steps away, when the man that they've been touting this whole time, the man who assembled the team all by himself, they include Nicholas Meyer and has Rod Roddenberry as a consultant on it, when he leaves Star Trek, that's not good. And so I started thinking about the whole Star Trek franchise, the television shows, the movies, the successes and the failures, and I came to a little bit of an epiphany, aided by a Reddit comment. And so I'm going to call my friend Kim Miller, and we're going to talk about where Star Trek might need to end up.
Hello.
Hi, Kim. This is Nero.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero. He sort of sounds like Dr. Evil or maybe like Lorne Michaels, right? Hi, this is Nero.
Lorne Michaels.
I don't like that very much, that sketch with David S. Pumpkins.
Oh, God.
It's going to become a big hit. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's late. It's late at night. I'm talking to Kim Miller, the doctor.
Oh,
what's that about?
What are you doing up so late?
Well, I'm working and, you know, and then going to school and all sorts of nonsense. And I felt the need. I think Jason was trying to shame me for not podcasting for the past couple of days. So I said, damn it, I'm going to go podcast. And here you are, my late night connection, Kim Miller, the doctor, night terrors, Kim Miller. How was your Halloween? What did you do?
What did I do? Nothing that exciting, really. Just trying to avoid teenagers coming to my door.
Did you have trick-or-treaters? Did they come over to your house?
My neighborhood was swarmed.
Really?
I can't believe
wow.
it. Like, where did all these kids come from? Yeah. No, this neighborhood's popular with surrounding neighborhoods.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
People show up from all around.
Did you pass out candy or did you just like pass out or just like, you know, hide?
I bought candy.
Ah.
For me, all for me.
Every time someone rang the doorbell, did you open the door and just eat candy in front of them and said, go away or something like that? Is that what you did?
Silently, and then I closed the door.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have some ready just in case.
Yeah.
but I did not have my porch light on. So it's the universal sign of don't come to my door.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's creepy now because I took my kid out trick or treating, and he's wearing this weird alien costume, which was terrifying in and of itself. But you walk up and down now, and it's such like a, you know, if the lights are on, there's a pumpkin, it's okay. If not, people are not even there. People, like, they go off to the Sizzler, and they just, like, they hunker down. They're so terrified of tiny humans coming to their house and begging for candy, you know, for sustenance.
Well, I've done it a few times in my neighborhood over the years, and it's usually, like, groups of teenagers who look like they're 16 and could have driven to my house. They're like, hey.
Yeah.
Trick or treat.
That's like the worst thing. Yeah.
Oh, hey.
I want to have a little.
And then their parents want a handout as well. I'm just like, oh, you guys are ruining Halloween.
Their parents want candy too?
Yeah. Their parents have their own little hollow pumpkin asking for candy or a pillowcase. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
Really? Who does that? Parents are asking for candy now? That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Oh, my Halloween goodwill.
Wow. Well, we dodged a bullet then, huh? Because you did not pass. You just ate all the candy, right?
Just in case someone rang my bell. I wanted to have something. Give them, like, chicken bouillon. That's all I have.
I wish you would pass that.
Here's some tofu for you.
Here's some chicken bouillon.
Full of tofu.
Here's some uncooked rice. Here's a carpet I have. And here's a TV guide from 1979.
Roll of toilet paper. Happy Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, so we did our cat's paw Halloween recap there. That was good. And we actually got together. See, this is the thing. Like, we got together, what was it, Saturday? Last Saturday or...
Friday.
Last Friday, yeah. So we got together. So you and Stompy Thompson drove up, and we should have podcasted.
What was his name again?
Stompy.
Just watched that the other day.
Stompy.
Stompy.
A minstrel boy to the side. Let's get two of the people who can't sing and make them sing. But that's okay, because like when Colmini sings, like, it's just like, oh, Jesus, man. They are serious here, right? I mean... That's like...
When they launch into verse 2, I'm just like, oh, geez.
Yeah, I know.
Still going.
It's like a 90-minute episode, right, where they just block off a whole hour so he can sing the Minstrel Boy in all, like, 95 different versions.
I'm not going to win this one, am I, Chief?
No, sir. And then later on, he's going to blow... Well, actually, earlier on, he's going to blow his head off in Shawshank, right? That's that guy.
What? Oh...
Yeah, that's
interesting.
That's
the
warden from Shawshank.
Yeah, the warden.
Yeah, that guy had a good run there for a while. I liked that guy.
That's cool.
Yeah, but you came up to celebrate Jason McCarris' birthday, our friend Jason, who is not here tonight because
son.
My son, the doctor. Sort of get you right here, which falls into what we did. So we went out and had dinner. We drank first, a bad idea. We drank first, and I totally, you know, wasted my whole night. It was very bubbly and fun, and then we went down to Pizza Rev, and I was so charming with those people who did not give a shit about me. Those people who giving
what?
Me...
What? You don't celebrate Halloween? Why not? Line of 12 people behind you.
There was some girl at Pizza Rev who was working who told me she didn't celebrate Halloween like when she was a kid. I was like, wow, that's really weird. So I want to know about it. And of course, the
Mike demanded she explain herself and her entire religious philosophy.
Yeah, I really kind of like.
Do you want anchovies?
I persecuted her over the anchovies while she was. but it was. You know, that's the problem. I drink too much wine, and then I get very talkative and chatty.
then you get very morose. You don't always do this after we spend time together. There's always, like, this morose recap of our time together.
Oh, is there? Oh, like...
Well, you guys, we had about 2 good hours there, and then and we all just kind of ate too much, and then we all just kind of came here, and well, it was good seeing you guys.
I have a real short, like, window of being entertaining and charming and enjoying life, and then it just shuts down.
It becomes a very sad recap of the previous which I thought were fun few hours.
No, it was a couple of fun hours, and then we kind of coasted in because we're in the deadly years now, and so we sort of coasted in like around 9 o'clock at night, like 8 o'clock at night after our pizza rev, which I got like this.
Stumpy started falling asleep by like 9:15.
Yeah. So Matt and Jason, Jason was recovering because he was in Rome for his honeymoon, and so he kind of like passed out, and then Matt kind of passed out, and so you and I were spent watching The Changeling,
which is fine with me.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I don't want to do a full recap on The Changeling, but it was fun to watch that one again.
Jason fell asleep.
Jason fell asleep.
He was enthralled.
He was like, "Oh, I want to watch this one. I'm halfway through it." And then he fell asleep and he woke up and Nomad was saying, error, faulty. So they turned into a Looney Tunes cartoon. But I enjoyed that one. It's the subtle menace of having like a monster in your house that you have to entertain and convince it that you're not food. You know, I mean, it's like, oh, let's have Dracula over and let's pretend like we're not made of blood. You know?
So with these men, you will not hurt them.
Yeah. And then,
I will not.
There is much to consider. And I have to say, so in that sequence, first of all, Nomad goes through the security force screen, which, you know, in 23rd century, they have for Briggs, they have like a force field, right? Which is supposed to be far more, I don't know why they have a force field instead of a door. Because in two occasions now, we've seen in Assignment Earth and now in Nomad in The Changeling, they just go right through it. They just turn it off and then there's no recourse.
Didn't
Charlie
X make the entire wall disappear with the force field in it?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Charlie X too. Yeah, good call. Yeah, like in the 23rd century, if you have a door and the power goes out, the door is still there. So you don't have to worry about the power went off. What do we got? No, the door's still there. It's still locked, but it's kind of a failing of the security system.
But then you miss they always have the dramatic moment where someone who's just been thrown in the cell tests the cell.
Right, right. Yeah, they have to.
Force field.
You have to tap and see electricity. Ah. Yeah. I always tap the doors whenever I'm locked in someplace. Like, oh, yeah, that's a door. Now in Into Darkness, they had that weird like plexiglass thing that like McCoy could move around the porthole to, and then he sticks his arm out.
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of a weird kind of I guess in the alternate universe, after Nero attacks, you know, the Kelvin, someone in Starfleet said, you know what? I think we need to relook at how we secure our prisoners. And I'm going to say no more force fields. Instead, let's have like movable glass. I think that's what happened. I think that was one of the changes that came about when the Kelvin was attacked by Nero.
Then you can see the prisoner. He can't hide anywhere.
That's right. He can't hide because that's no other way to see him. So we watched The Changeling. It was good. And then we sort of flitted right into Mirror Mirror, which was a nice little, you know, doublet there, a little couplet to have go right from
You were trying to give Jason the top 10 episodes. Top 5 episodes.
Yeah, this is the Mirror
You're
Mirror.
Curating them for him.
It's definitely a top 5. Mirror Mirror. The Changeling maybe like a top 10 or top 15. I would say it's good, but it's not great. There's some kind of weirdness that goes on there, and you know, Uhura getting her mind wiped, and Leonard Nimoy mind melding with the robot. You know, Tanru, Utak, Bok Blob.
Ulan Bator.
I cannot believe it is not Ulan Bator. Are your cheeks hurting right now, Kim? Have I hurt them already or no?
Almost.
All right, good. When her cheeks hurt, I know that I've made her laugh enough. So we went into Mirror Mirror, and we won't get into that one too much either. Because I'm saving this podcast is actually about something. We're gonna make this a short podcast, Kim. It's not gonna be super long because I gotta go to bed. But but that was good too, and I had forgotten how good that is. First of all, I haven't seen some of those extra scenes. They have like it's a little extended, But there were scenes, and actually Matt Stompy Thompson pointed those out, which is kudos for him for like, oh, that's new. It's like, wow, where did you come from? He kind of woke up from his crypt and pointed out the fact that, oh, you know, that scene hasn't been seen since 1969. You're like, oh, okay.
Like there's a scene in Kirk's quarters where what's that woman's name?
Marlena. No. Marlena Monroe.
Marlena.
Yeah.
Whoa. The captain's woman, till he says you're not.
Yeah.
Well, she has an extended scene. That was very interesting.
Yeah, and then they have that weird scene where, like, what's that on your face? It's called blood, you know?
So, yeah. I think I've ever seen those before. I have no memory of this place. I have no memory of seeing those.
I know, yeah. It was fun to kind of watch those little extra nuggets. And I guess maybe I've seen them before, or I just, you know, when he pointed out, it's like, oh, that's right. And you can kind of tell, too, and I need to do a little more digging, because you can tell if you're watching on Netflix, because the quality diminishes during those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we were talking about Assignment Earth, there was a couple scenes I was like, and I was showing it with Kiernan, my son, and I was like, huh, that's weird. That's like really low quality. Something went to like standard definition or not cleaned up footage. And this, the same was in Mirror Mirror. But it was very good. I'd forgotten how good it was, and just seeing the individual moments. You know, Mirror Mirror is the first time we really see like mirror universe, alternate universe stuff on television.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
I'm pretty sure I'm right about
really?
That.
Really? Never? Huh. Interesting.
There might have been some Twilight Zone-y kind of stuff, but those were kind of segmented and sort of like, oh, we're actually not on Earth kind of things.
But,
so it was good, but of course Jason's reaction was meh. He was not impressed.
Is there any episode that he thought was really good? Or is he always like, eh, you fools, it's the 60s.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're wearing tennis skirts. Like, oh,
they're
okay.
Silly costumes.
Yeah, it's I think there was one he liked more than he thought he would, and I was kind of like, really? I can't remember which one that is. There's one that was kind of a little surprise that he enjoyed.
He seen City on the Edge of Forever?
I think he has, but I don't remember.
And he was not impressed.
He's a tough sell on this stuff. He is not. he's having a tough time with this. We're all having a tough time with this.
No.
Yeah.
No lightsabers.
Well, and that is a perfect segue, Kim. You've done it. Mm-hmm. Because Jason, actually, I wish Jason was here. I wish he wasn't sick of Star Trek. Because I wanted to talk to you about it. So I, as I teased earlier in the little pre thing before I called you, is that the big news this week was that Brian Fuller, showrunner of Star Trek Discovery, left.
Mm-hmm.
Should we
be worried? He's supposedly still going to oversee, kind of, or be involved somewhat, because he wrote the arc for the whole season. Is that correct?
He wrote from what I understand, he wrote or had a part in writing the first two episodes. And it's kind of nebulous as to whether or not, like, they broke all the stories of this season or not. But
I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't
I
hear
missed
me?
You for a second. They broke all what? Oh, you cut out for a second.
Oh, I said they broke all the storylines for it's not, we're not clear whether or not they broke all the storylines for the entire season. But for me, the fact that the guy who CBS was like, this is our guy, we're going to get Brian Fuller. Mm-hmm. They were touting him. They were, you know, shouting his name to the heavens because he was, you know, he wrote for Voyager and he did Pushing Daisies and all these great TV shows. And
Lifelong fan.
Well, yes. And I met him. I met him at Comic-Con, and he is a lifelong fan. He was so geeked out to hold a Tribble from the original series. He was so geeked out to show me a picture of what the Enterprise was going to look like before he showed anybody else. He's like, hey, check this out. This is what the Enterprise is going to look like. It's going to look based on Ralph McQuarrie stuff. And then he goes.
And
that's not good. You don't leave like the crown jewel of a CBS production. I mean, because he says he has two other like projects going on, which this is fine. But you dump
something about that he had become frustrated with how slowly it was proceeding or something like that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I think I read something like that. Again, everyone's keeping it kind of close to the, you know, close to the chest, but I'd heard that he was becoming frustrated with the way CBS was working with all this. You know, the fact that they kept on pushing stuff back, the fact that they haven't found their female lead yet because it's supposed to be a female commander who's going to be, we're going to follow, and CBS has been dragging their heels. And so with this news, which is not good news, this definitely portends poorly. And then adding on to the fact that Star Trek Beyond came out in DVD this week, I think. But that did poorly. That did poorly as well. So I started thinking, I was like, what can we do to fix this franchise? It's a mess. The whole thing's a mess right now, Karen. And then,
what are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. There are two possibilities. One is that I start a Kickstarter here and now, and I make a bid for Star Trek the franchise, which is a long shot. But then I started thinking, and this was on Reddit, that what if Disney bought Star Trek?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And, I don't know what to think.
I know. And at first I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. That's the worst idea. And I would be repulsed by that. But then I started to think about it, Kim. Kim Miller and podcast listeners at home.
And?
It's not a bad idea. It's not. So
because it would, what, infuse a huge injection of money into it?
Well, yeah, primarily. I mean, think about, like I started looking at it, and first of all, look at all the franchises they've acquired so far. Pixar, right? You sound like you're a cat right there. I'm sorry. It's like, meow.
I didn't do anything. I'm looking at a cat.
But you, when you said, yeah, well, he's like, meow. Yeah. If you could,
subconscious. Oh no!
I know. You're turning into a cat. That's right, Isis. We're going to talk about selling this to Disney.
Connect that red wire to that blue wire.
I know, Isis. Wow. I know. That was close to a Carrie Mead's imitation as well.
Righty tighty.
All right. Stay with me. So they bought Pixar. They bought Marvel. And they bought Lucasfilms for huge amounts of money. And so far, they've done very, very well with them, right? I mean,
yeah.
Pixar is doing well. Pixar, every 2 years, has a blockbuster. Every year, basically, has a blockbuster. They had Finding Dory this year. They have...
They're going to release, what, Moana or something?
Moana, yeah. And then they're going to have The Incredibles and then Toy Story 4. So, you know, they've got a pipeline going. Marvel's already making money, but now they're making more money, much, much more money. They're just printing money because every year they have two Marvel films come out. You know, we're going to take my kid to see Doctor Strange this week, and you know, it'll be a solid B+ movie, and we'll be like, oh, that was pretty good, you know, and they got our money, right?
Yeah.
And then this is why I wish Jason was here, is because they bought Star Wars and Indiana Jones, and they've got
what?
That
oh, I didn't know they bought that.
They bought all of all the Lucasfilm properties, so they have Star Wars,
right.
Indiana Jones, Willow. They can totally reboot the shit out of Willow, right?
Not sure if those are all at the same level, but all right.
Mad Monigan.
Oh, God.
I want Warwick Davis to run around and slide down on a shield, you know, on a snow-covered hill as Val Kilmer chases him down. Yes, I watched Willow as a child. There's nothing wrong with that.
Apparently. Jeez.
I so wanted to like that movie more, but it was just kind of all over the map. I have to watch Willow again, I guess.
If you're listening, please check out Mike's Willow podcast.
Yeah, welcome to Willowcast,
everybody.
Feral
Audio.
Yeah. So let's talk about Mad Mardigan. Was he ever really mad, or was he just disgruntled? Find out next time. Feral Audio. All right, so those are so. But yeah, they're going to make a new Indiana Jones film too, by the way. So that's directly in the pipeline. So,
oh my God.
The only they have purchased three high end properties and paid billions of dollars for them. So there certainly is a precedent for it. Now the only thing they've kind of messed up on has been the Muppets. They've kind of dropped the ball several times with the Muppets. You know, because they had the Muppets.
It's still a TV show?
No, God, no. They canceled that thing faster than you can blink. Oh. That was so terrible. Let's make the Muppets assholes. You know, like, oh, yeah, what a good idea. That's exactly how I remember Kermit, you know, just being a really, like, you know, jaded Hollywood type.
Oh, God, is that what they did?
You didn't watch it? Yeah, it was like The Office, like, for a talk show, Miss Piggy's talk show. And
oh, jeez.
You know, all the Muppets talking to camera. It's like, oh, I don't know what Miss Piggy is going to think about this. You know, I don't need that. I don't need that. All right, so 3 out of 4. Not bad. They pay good money. Like between $2 and $4 billion they paid for. I think they paid $2 billion for Star Wars and $4 billion for Marvel. They could pay, I mean, they could, you know, they could drop down like $1 billion apiece for CBS and Paramount, or $2 billion apiece. Who cares, right? They're good properties.
You want to start a campaign for them to start doing that? It's probably already in discussion somewhere.
Well, I don't
see some office building.
Well, yeah, in some office building. Because, I mean, because my counter argument goes like this. I mean, let me just finish a few of my thoughts here. Is that Disney makes B-plus movies. All their movies are okay, right? I mean, I've seen all these Marvel films now, and we saw Star Wars, and they're all pretty good films. You know, all the Pixar films are always pretty good, even like Cars. they have such a strong infrastructure and such a strong, they're so tied into storytelling above all else because they understand that a strong story can proliferate out into all merchandise and all their theme parks. If they get a good story with good characters, they can make that last forever. So no matter what, they will stop. Like with Rogue One, I mean, they reshot 50% of this movie to get it right.
Really?
Yeah. That was the rumor, and then like this, oh, no, that's not true. We're doing some, you know, some reshoots. Everyone has reshoots. But they reshot a significant amount of that film to make it good. You know, I mean, they reshot stuff. And all films do that, but Disney they have the machine in place. So you're always going to get a pretty good film. If Star Trek Beyond is like the high watermark of the Star Trek movies, that's as low as it's going to get. I mean, you'll always get like a Star Trek Beyond or better.
Yeah.
So.
So. But you hated Beyond. You think that's the high watermark?
Oh, I didn't hate Beyond. I hated Into Darkness.
Well, I thought you did. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Did you watch those movies? Have you ever seen those? Have you seen Star Trek?
Kill you.
Yes.
Not contributing to your Kickstarter.
I'm driving over to your house right now to trick or treat. I'm going to take all your candy.
Kill your pillowcase. Kick over my pumpkin.
It's for my kid. My kid's in the car. Can I have
some? Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. All treats. Give me all your candy, please. I'm a vagrant.
Thank you for stating your occupation.
Yeah. That's
good evening, ma'am. I'm a vagrant.
That's either my costume or my occupation. I'll let you decide based on a 45-second conversation we'll be having now. So, cans of food that are found in the garbage, edible or not, I don't know. Okay.
Off topic.
This is very off topic. This is kind of a wacky episode here, but that's okay because I'm trying to make my guess. So Kim, so far, have I convinced you or do you still have doubts?
I can't think of any really good reason to disagree. Okay. Other than it's been like decades of antagonism between Star Trek and Star Wars fans, but
really? Does there need to be?
No. Well, let's go. So those are my pros. Those are my pros. And those, you know,
what was like the big complaint or whatever, or hesitation when Disney bought Star Wars? What were people saying? Oh, they're going to make it all cutesy poo, kid friendly, and take away the edge or something like that.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And so Han will never shoot first. You know, like that. That's the fear, is that Greedo will always shoot first because Disney, above all else, has to protect the mouse. You know, I mean, like,
which is kid friendly everything.
Right. Like, even if you're going to, like, even like with Marvel movies, like, which go a little bit darker, you know, I guess, like, you can maybe say, like, maybe the Netflix TV shows, but that's kind of a slightly different beast. But I mean, these Marvel movies, I mean, they're, you know, these characters are very virtuous. And even when they're not, it's all cartoony violence, and, you know, the stakes are always not scary. They're very, they're very pleasant films. And that's what we would get. That's what we would lose in one respect, is we would lose sort of that auteurness, the ability to take risk, which is our business. It's probably the biggest counter argument is that risk is our business. And if we're not making films which are A pluses in our minds, then why make them? But for Disney, a B plus is perfectly acceptable. You know, because it's going to make them money. A B plus will make them, you know, $800 million. And they'll be thrilled with that. You know, it's like, well, that was a success. Well, it wasn't that great. Like, Ant-Man is not that great of a film, but it made him a ton of money. So what do they care?
And people were afraid that Star Wars would just be like, all Jar Jar. Sit on Jar Jar's planet.
Yeah.
Jar Jar won.
Yeah. Misa, so happy to see you back here. Like, oh, no. Oh, God. What happened?
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. Oh,
I
no.
not really hurt you.
Yeah. He's all pretend. All the prequels and all the movies all pretend. Now the real story starts.
Shoot the little Nerf balls.
Yeah. Nobody gets hurt. Darth Vader's still alive.
Safety first. But I guess that didn't happen mostly with Force Awakens, right? They had some dark moments.
Well, but like, again, like heavily scrubbed through dark moments, right? I mean, are we ever, like, as flawed as the prequels were, you were never going to get into the scene where, you know, Anakin Skywalker kills children, as he did in the third movie, right? I mean, he slaughtered those, like,
true.
Young Jedis. I mean,
forgot about that.
I can just see them going with, the Disney brass. So in this sequence, he kills them all? Yeah, he kills them. We're going to give a little pushback to that. We don't think what if he just tickles them all? How about that? You know, and of course, in an appropriate way with their families watching and consenting. Maybe, in fact, they don't tickle. Maybe it's just that he talks about tickling and then Ant-Man shows up. What do you think about that? This is Star Wars. It doesn't matter. It's all the same thing, you guys.
Well, you're not worried about that then happening with Star Trek?
I am. But at this point in time, like, what are the alternatives?
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
just letting it fizzle out and die.
Yeah, because, I mean, what is CBS and Paramount doing right now? They don't... See, here's the other thing, too, is that I would love for Disney to, like, elect or crown or anoint someone like Kevin Feige of Marvel. You know, because they've got this guy from Marvel who's, like, the head of Marvel.
What did he do?
He's, like, the head guy from Marvel who basically controls all the storylines. He's like the architect of the Matrix movies. He's got it all figured out. So he basically decides, like, okay, so we're going to release three more Avengers films, and then we're going to have like an Ant-Man film, and then we're going to have a Doctor Strange movie. And so he lays it all out.
Limitless power.
Unlimited power, yes.
Ah, damn.
I know.
See, we need Jason here.
Limitless power with Bradley Cooper.
I'll just deliberately mangle Star Wars quotes.
Yeah,
Jason to come back.
I know. Jason is slowly resting from his sleep bunker right now.
I am your dad. No.
May you use the force well. No, no. There's the death machine. Shoot it down. Oh, God. Oh, no.
The death machine. See, Jason, if only you were here to
fix it. Look, there's...
I love you. Do you? Oh, thanks.
There's my little green mentor, YOLO. Oh, hello.
Oh, God. Hipster.
We market tested Yoda, and it didn't work. YOLO is really, really good. I really like it.
And, Hashtag YOLO. Oh.
All right, so having Disney in charge would give it more of a centralized authority to then do things like say, like, okay, every 2 years we're going to have a Star Trek movie. Every year in between, we're going to have like a origin of Spock movie, or, you know, the Klingon, you know,
Ooh,
Rogue One movie.
I'd like that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if like every year, every yeah. 2 years they came out with something? Because now, see, Marvel's shown everybody the way. It's that you can have the big blockbuster movies and you can have the smaller ones. You know, you can have your Ant-Man, and then you can have your, you know, Marvel Civil War, and then you can go back to Doctor Strange, and then come back with Thor, and, you know, you can do all this stuff. And I'd love to see that with Star Trek. I'd love to see, you know, Star Trek Home Life or something, like just like a little, you know, $30 million film, which is just like, oh, you know, here's what
home
it's like
life.
To live. Well, like, here's what the Federation is like. Here's what happens if you live on Earth in the 24th century. You know, this is, I know that's kind of like a weird thing, but like, let's have like an elite tactical squad thing, like a Zero Dark 30 thing, or, you know, something. I stole that from Reddit too, by the way. You know, let's have a, what's that?
I want to hear how like Guinan's people have been scattered by the Borg. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's have like a straight up like buddy, you know, cop show comedy kind of one, you know, let's.
Why are you trying to kill the franchise?
Yeah. But we won't,
with
though.
Kevin
That's
Hart playing yeah. a Ferengi.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on here? Come on. Medea goes to
Ad-libbing
Starfleet.
The whole thing. Yeah. Medea. Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry's Medea goes to the Starfleet. Well, hey, Tyler Perry was in these 2009 films. So, I mean, there is.
Oh, that's right. Oh, precedent.
There is precedent. There is a crossover possibility. I mean, all things are possible. Let me be your gateway, you know? So we would get centralized authority, which seems like a bad thing, but here's the other problem is, I talked about this before, CBS owns TV, Paramount owns movies, and they don't get along. They have two different universes. They are so
weird.
Yeah. We would put all that together and they would figure it out. And every year we'd have a solid B+ movie come out and be like, oh, time to go see the next Star Trek film. You know,
it is kind of madness that two giant corporations have two completely different universes. Like,
yeah.
I wonder if people are confused and they're like, eh, I don't care.
Right. I mean, what are the stakes in the Star Trek movies? I mean, well, it's a whole other universe, so nothing. You know, and now that Leonard Nimoy's not even a part of it anymore, I mean, they're just kind of untethered.
Are your kids interested in Star Trek? Not to the degree you are, but are they as excited about new Star Trek coming out the way like Star Wars is a family tradition passed down through generations? And people are like, parents who loved it, 77 film as kids, are just like, I want my kids to know all about it and have that same excitement and enthusiasm for the whole thing as I did when I was their age. I don't think you have that with Star Wars parents. I mean, Star Trek parents, do you?
No.
But maybe not, just not as much, not as intensely.
Well, you know, the problem is, one of the problems, like when I grew up watching Star Trek, I mean, it was great as a kid because it was colorful and action oriented. And the stories were pretty simple, right? I mean, there's a big green lizard that wants to kill Captain Kirk. Got it. You know, the end. Okay. you know, then you went to Next Generation, which became a lot more cerebral. It's like, oh, well, let's talk to these, you know, green lizards and, you know, get him to be okay.
It's a storyline about a man who has to kill himself when he turns 60.
Right.
Hey, kids, let's sit down and watch that.
Let's watch a little David Ogden Steers kind of tear up the scenery here with this. Isn't this great, guys? Isn't this exciting? You know, no one's throwing punches. Oh, that's true. Yeah. You know, my oldest, he loves watching all these DC TV shows like The Flash and Green Arrow. I mean, that's what hooks you in. That's what hooked me into Star Wars. It's like, oh, look, they're fighting with laser swords. Got it. That's cool. Oh, look, there's diplomacy. Not as strong, you know.
Well, with his last film, they packed in so much action, and yet it still didn't do well. So what's happening?
Well, it's action without context. I mean, they're flying out in outer space with, you know, aliens, and in a spaceship, and it's like, so what is exactly, for a kid, it's
like... They had so many motorcycles, and they had Beastie Boys. What more do you people want?
This is true. They did, they really, you know, let's put 50 motorcycles and the Beastie Boys soundtrack in, that it becomes a plot point that you cannot argue with. It's like, oh my gosh.
So, why do you think the movie didn't do well?
Why do I think what?
Why do you think Beyond didn't do better at the box office?
Well, I think we talked about this a little bit, but I think it just, again, when Star Trek 2009 came out, I think you probably could have called it an exciting space movie, and people were like, oh, great. Because there's nothing outside of Leonard Nimoy showing up that really makes it Star Trek necessarily. There's nothing. It was just an adventure where they ran around and had a good time, you know, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I thought it was a great start. And it did okay. Mm-hmm. And then Into Darkness came out. It was kind of a mess. And it further confused anyone who's never watched Star Trek like we have all our lives. And for us, it just pissed
it just
us off.
It annoyed people who knew it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we all hated it. And
Ripping
beyond...
off the con.
Yeah, yeah. And so when Beyond came out, it was almost too late. You know, I think that's really where it is that the audience was just like, well, you know, we... Nobody got Into Darkness. Nobody understood what was going on with that. And it's like, why don't we just watch Fast and Furious? We get that. It's cars. It's cars jumping over other cars. This is people in space pretending to be other people who were in space 50 years ago. Why do we care about that?
I think by the third film, they've kind of burned their bridges with the hardcore fans, you think?
Well, I think the hardcore fans came back from the third film. But by that point in time, I mean, you are right now trying to service people who, you know, are 40 and above, you know, at best case scenario, or you know, hipsters who are like in their 30s or 20s, like, I like Next Generation. I like Star Trek, the old series. I mean, but they're not going to be as fervent. They're not going to watch it 10 times. They're not going to buy all the merchandise. They're just going to watch it and say, that was pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that 18 to 25 year old demographic. You're not going to get the kid demographic. So
we need Disney to breathe new life into it.
As terrifying as it
is, I think it's reasonable. I would like to see it continue to exist rather than just fizzle away in purgatory of.
Yeah, I mean, what are our options right now? I mean, CBS is doing its absolute best to ruin this before it's even started. You know, they hired a guy who's left. They are putting it on CBS All Access, which we have to pay $10 a month to see it commercial free. And they're pushing it back further and further. I mean, it's not going to be ready in March or April. They say that, but you know what? You know, you got to shoot that, and then you have to do all the special effects. Maybe in the fall of 2017, we'll see it. And there won't be a movie. Because if there's a movie, they have said nothing about it. So that's at least 3 years away. So here we are, the 50th anniversary. We're still in the middle of 50th anniversary, Kim, and there's nothing going on. It's you and me talking about it. So...
All right, I'm on board with your Disney gambit.
I don't like it either, but what else can we do? What else should we do?
What if it gets bought by some giant Chinese conglomerate? Wait, didn't they have a hand in something recently? What was that? Was it Star Trek? How were we watching that? It had like Chinese...
Like Alibaba or something. Yeah, it wasn't like you know...
Yeah, like, yeah, Alibaba something.
Yeah, like for some reason, like, yeah, like the Star Trek, like, you know, it was like... what is it? Paramount Pictures and Alibaba present Star Trek.
like what? Wait a minute. Like, rewind that.
Well, what are we watching again? That's the thing too, is that globalization is constantly marginalizing these films. So, I mean, because we're like talking about these like Jack Reacher 2 and Inferno with Tom Hanks are completely obligatory films they had to make basically to satisfy contractual obligations, but that the foreign markets will watch and they'll recoup their money, you know? So, you know, it's you can't just make a film for an English speaking audience anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
Unless you double down like you do, and like with Star Wars now, they're just like, well, we're just going to pour all this money into it and make it so accessible for everyone, but so rich with what you're seeing on the screen that it's not going to matter. You know, so I don't know. I mean, yeah. Now, the thing you said earlier is completely right, is that Star Trek would almost invariably take a back seat to Star Wars. You know, I mean, in the Disney world, it'll be, you know, back and forth between, I think Marvel is a bigger cash cow right now, but Marvel and then Star Wars and then, you know, Pixar movies maybe, and then Star Trek and then the Muppets.
Yep, you know, it was beyond. I'm actually looking it up. I'm like, oh my God, that is where I saw that. They were one of the producers, Alibaba.
Alibaba. Isn't that crazy? Like a Chinese company kicked in money, so maybe they shot it in China too. Who knows? I mean, that's one of the requirements usually is you have to go over to China and shoot that stuff. But, I'll be interested to see how long the Chinese money sticks around because they're just throwing it around quite a bit, and they did not make a lot of money off that. But so,
Well, how are you going to get this idea out there? You need to push for
I don't want to push for it, but I think it has to happen.
it.
I'll put it out to you people out there in the podcast world. Hit us up on Twitter or on our Facebook page. I just want to talk about Star Trek, or at Mike McCafferty on Twitter, or at Flibadib.
With a dip with a
Flip a
P.
dip. Oh, God.
Don't talk to me. Talk to Mike McCafferty. Don't talk to me.
Well, do you notice that, like, in the Feral Audio, whenever they retweet it, they put your handle in there as well?
Awesome.
Yeah, you're like
Buy
one of.
me undies.
Yes.
Which I did. They're nice.
They are good. I wear them. You know, I wear them, and they're very sleek and sexy. And very 23rd
like
century.
All Star Trek fans, they're very sleek and sexy.
Yes, we are all we all cut a very nice profile as we move through life.
But I'm just looking quickly at this little article. Paramount Pictures is already in bed with Alibaba on the upcoming Star Trek Beyond, and has now added another Chinese partner for the sci-fi film. Fast-growing Hua Media, HUA.
Oh, God.
Making its first global investment in a tentpole.
So it was underwritten by Alibaba and Hua Media.
Apparently.
Wow, that's, you
It's
know.
all over. It's all over.
It is, isn't that? I mean, like, how
China.
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 China. Oh gosh, he could be our president. He's getting closer to being president.
If you're listening overseas, it's a reference to Alec Baldwin playing Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
It's not just me yelling China for no reason.
Right. Our foreign listeners, who you have to tweet me. I will put you on this podcast, or at least give you a shout out if you're
One guy
nervous.
From Colombia tweeted me. That was nice.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, didn't tweet
I
me.
retweeted or quoted to you.
Oh gosh. See, I
It
think
was
you.
after our fabulous cat's paw episode.
Oh, see, I
Why
think.
thank you.
I think you're going to draw far more response because you're an attractive female, and I'm just like this monster that lives in a cave.
Muchas gracias to Colombia. Wow.
See, if you tweet me or tweet Flibadip, she will respond to you. The female will respond. This female will respond to you.
She's a jumble of disorganized circuits. What is that?
A mass of conflicting, just something like that. It's a Nomad says that.
Nomad's a real wise guy.
Yeah, a mass of conflicting impulses. All right. We've talked enough here tonight. I promise to make this a short one. This is a short one, but there is more coming up in the future. I promise you that.
Do you have any interesting guests lined up?
I don't. As I was mentioning earlier, I've been kind of digging deep into the writing.
All right, you've been very busy.
I've been very busy. I'm Mr. Atos right now. Very busy man. But, honestly, the interviews only do so. Like when I look at, people want to hear stuff like this, because when I put this out, it's going to say, should Disney buy Star Trek? I have a feeling people are going to want to listen to that, because that's interesting. When I put on Lawrence Montaigne, Decius from, what? From Balance of Terror and Amok Time, what?
It's the meat of the podcast. It's a series of podcasts.
This is true. Oh, and someone just died, actually. A Star Trek actor just died today. Yeah.
Ooh.
Star Trek actor. He was in the Galileo 7. I'm going to look him up. Ooh. I know we're kind of deep in the, I was just signing off, and all of a sudden,
And as usual, you recap in a very depressing way. Marshall. Oh, the black actor in the Galileo that crash lands.
Lieutenant Boma.
Oh.
Yeah, he was great.
I liked him.
I know, he was really great.
Yeah.
He was 80 years old, so he lived a nice, good, long life, and he was also in Land of the Giants.
He's cute.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy. Yeah, he was. It's a bummer. So we bid him a fond farewell and say thank you for your contribution in Star Trek, the Galileo 7, a good episode, probably top 10, I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it really kind of established the Spock-McCoy relationship, I mean, Kirk was on the ship, right?
Well,
it was, Spock and McCoy figured
out. He was born in San Diego. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. So thank you, Don Marshall. for your contributions.
Yay.
And thank you, listeners of this podcast. Listeners like you. Thank you. no, this is great. I am so excited that we keep on doing this. And I have my first mate, Kim Miller, here. The doctor. Tweet her at Flibbalob. Yep. Flibbalob.com.
At nubnub, doodoodoodubnub.com.
They're going to, when they reissue that.
For you, Jason. Is that an exact quote, Jason? Nubnub, globly, get a bub, blub.
Oh, it's the earwigs.
I know
love
you
them.
Know the exact.
I love the earwigs.
I'm feeling
so
you
cute.
Know the exact words of the Jawa song.
I know the first couple. No. Jawa, what are you
talking about?
Even when you're trying to be right, you're wrong. This is why you're so good on Star
the
Trek.
The little teddy bears.
The Chewbaccas. The little Chewbaccas.
Polar opposite knowledge of Star Trek versus Star Wars knowledge.
We are going to troll every Star Wars listener here. We are so sorry. I watched it 9 times when I was a kid, so don't worry. But, light knives, their light knives and their K-Wing fighters.
Light knives.
Lightsabers, I was trying to say. They're light brights.
Light knives. Oh, ridiculous.
Okay.
Ewok.
Ewoks, yub nub, e-chop, yub nub, atomi, tomi
tachi. There you go.
No, we can't listen to that. We have to sing Bitter Dregs, because that's Star Trek. Although soon it could be, it's a world of laughter, a world of tears.
Oh my God.
Space, the smallest world.
17 verses of the Minstrel Boy.
Oh, gosh. All right, let's finish it up. I'm Mike McCafferty.
Oh, I'm Kim Miller.
Gosh.
With a P.
The worst. No, there's like no velocity.
I created it years ago before I knew I'd be doing this nonsense.
You know how these end, though. There's that music playing underneath it, and it's like, I'm Mike McCafferty, I'm Kim Miller.
All right.
Star Trek. And you're like, Flibbidip with a P? Like, oh, gosh.
Yep, maybe that is so.
and I just want to talk about...
Sidetrack!
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
Error, flaw, imperfection.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Blah, blah, blah!
Alan Moraine, you'll come with me.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL, the 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve a pe in Spanish,
oh my gosh.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh my God.